Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. Coming your way in 20 minutes, another dramatic reading of the Fat Journal. This morning, with the voice of the Chicken Challenge and multiple wiener ships, as well as the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. Joining us this morning on the show in 20 minutes, Jacob Wilkins.
He's going to bow out!
Is going to read Mraz's Weekend Fat Journal. And let me tell you, that journal looks about as good as the Colts do right now.
CBS.
In tatters. Who made more mistakes?
He faked us all out.
Who made more mistakes on Sunday? Mraz or Carson Wentz? We'll find out. We'll find out with Jacob Wilkins in 20.
I was going to say, just be prepared. Sunday looks like I ate salad all day compared to Friday and Saturday.
And in 40 minutes, the dramatic conclusion of the brouhaha. Me, Mraz, and Bogish will deliver our bets on tonight's national championship game in Total Beers Wagered to Pete the Body Bilotti. We will not know one another's bets. It'll be a blind bet. And then Pete will unveil what's on the line tonight.
Brouhaha.
There's a lot of action around here this morning. We're halfway through. But that's only the on-air portion, because starting at 10 a.m. Eastern time is when we go live on my Instagram to broadcast to the world Mraz shirtless outside in frigid temperatures, body painted completely in blue to apologize to Giants fans for his misguided loyalty and expectation that the Giants would make the playoffs. More on that as we make our way through the morning. But let's start this hour with a team in New York that actually wins. The only team in New York that actually wins. In some ways, the only team in New York. The Buffalo Bills yesterday get a win against the New York Jets, clinching the AFC East and a home game next weekend.
Third and goal from the 5. Snap. Allen looks, fires a short one, caught by Singletary. He's got a few blocks. Headed to the end zone. He is in. Touchdown, Buffalo. Touchdown, Bills. The AFC East Division title is within reach now. Wow.
I'm proud of our team for responding the way we have throughout the season. To be sitting here in this position, you know, based on how we were feeling 5 weeks ago and how everybody was kind of doubting us, feels good. But again, you know, we got to come out. We got to play a little better. At the end of the day, we won a game. That's the mentality that we have going forward. Every week's a playoff week, and we just got to find a way to win.
Bills radio on the call. Josh Allen after the victory. What do they earn? A home date against the Patriots. Saturday night at Rich Stadium. Now, what are they calling that bad boy now?
It's not New Era.
Is it New Era Stadium?
I think it might be New Era Field at Orchard Park.
We'll check that out. Either way, they're going to be hosting a playoff game. And think about this. This is the first time since the 90s the Bills will have had a home playoff game.
Highmark Stadium.
Highmark. Highmark Stadium. This is the first time since the 90s, in the glory days of the Bills, when they'll host a playoff game with fans in the building. Because last year they won the division, but COVID meant no Bills Mafia. So now we have 8 hours of tailgate shenanigans. We have a night game, which is going to be real boozy.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
We have the hated Patriots coming into town. We have Bills Mafia after hours upon hours upon hours of getting all hyped up in the frigid cold, reveling in not only a home playoff game, but a chance to deliver redemption and revenge against the Pats, who stole one from them a couple of weeks ago in Buffalo on that Monday nighter. Boy, this sets up well for some good theater this weekend. Beautiful. Midway through this season, I had no optimism about the Bills. None. There was a 5-week period where I thought their DNA showed weakness, inconsistency, ability to find ways to lose and play down to competition. When they lost that game to the Jaguars 9-6, it was an eye-opener. Oh my God, you guys were preseason Super Bowl expectations, and you lost to the Jaguars? Humiliating. They then followed that up 2 weeks later by getting absolutely roundhoused by the Colts. Remember that? 41-15. Couldn't stop the run. Colts went up and down the field on them. You said, boy, if they can't learn their lesson from getting beaten by the Jags, then what is you? What is you at all? And then 2 weeks after that Colts game, they lost the Patriots on that Monday night when they absolutely refused to run the football the same way the Patriots did. They thought, out of ego, Josh Allen could throw the football in 40-mile-an-hour winds with a tornado ripping through Western New York, basically. A twister. They still thought Josh Allen could throw the football. Meantime, Bill Belichick de-pantsed Sean McDermott. With a rookie quarterback, he had no inclination, no intention of running the football, of throwing the football. They threw 3 passes all game. They could have gotten away with 1 pass all game. They win the game. And after that game, remember, McDermott is feisty, bristling at the notion he got outcoached. This wasn't a Belichick thing. You had the Bills players being asked about being embarrassed, fighting with the media. I mean, it looked like it was all coming apart. And at that point in time, I had said the division's over. This is the Patriots' division now. This is about whether the Bills can find themselves into a wild card, but the division's over. And I couldn't have been more wrong. They were sleepwalking through the first half in Tampa Bay and then woke up and had that emotional comeback that in overtime, ultimately, they lost on the walk-off touchdown to Breshad Perriman. But fought tooth and nail in Tampa, and then rattled off 4 wins in a row, none of which were all that important, except the one against the Patriots in Foxborough, where they went to Foxborough and they laid the hammer on the Patriots with Josh Allen's perhaps greatest game of his career. You know, they weren't great surviving the Falcons last week, cold weather, that was a nip and tuck game. They weren't great yesterday. The New York Jets were in that game 13-10 until the third quarter, fourth quarter. But it was the game against the Patriots that changed everything because that was their potential. That's as good as we can be. Now, beating the Patriots doesn't seem like all that big a deal anymore because it seems like everybody's doing it right now. But that game flipped the entire script. They accepted the challenge and played one of their best football games of the year. So I was dead wrong on counting the Bills out of the division. I thought also the Patriots wouldn't completely fold down the stretch. And now they're rewarded with a home playoff game, and they deserve it. And those fans deserve it. Those are some of the best fans in football. They haven't had a home playoff game that they can actually attend in many moons. And they're going to get it with the Patriots in the building on, I'm sure it's going to be a frigid cold night coming up this weekend. It's fun. They are deserving. They've earned this. And at 11-6, it wasn't the way you drew it up before the season, but it ends the place that you want it to end. It ends in the spot where you wanted it to end. In the playoffs, home playoff game, win the division, and you have a chance to exercise the demon again by what happened a couple of weeks ago. And I would say this. After that loss to the Patriots, McDermott was angry that people doubted him and his team. The team was angry that people were making fun of that team because they got beat by a squad that only threw three passes. We saw the Patriots line up and telegraph what we're going to do, and you can't stop it. And the Bills wanted to prove to the world we're not a punchline. Well, now they get their shot. Now they get their shot to redeem themselves after that embarrassment, which that was. That was an embarrassment. But Bills Mafia is going to be off the chain this weekend. A night game in Buffalo for the first time with fans of the building 100% in 25 years? Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of quiet, sit on your hands, sober people at that game. Last night, the Raiders survive. How about this? The Raiders had 5 walk-off kicks made, field goals made by Daniel Carlson this year. Think about that for a second. The Raiders won 5 games this year on walk-off field goals, including last night. And the Raiders moved all the way up to the 5 seed last night because the Patriots lost to the Dolphins yesterday. And with the way the Steelers season ended, the Raiders went from last team in on the last night of the season, the last game of the season, to the 5 seed in a 4-5 matchup against the Bengals. I said this last hour, I'll say it again. Rich Bisaccia deserves a ton of credit for stabilizing an organization after the John Gruden emails and then also somehow navigating the Henry Ruggs tragedy. Derek Carr's been under fire. The team has had injuries, lost its head coach. The Ruggs situation is nightmarish on a million levels. And they found a way to survive last night and survive this postseason and becomes the first interim head coach ever to lead his team to a playoff spot. And he still might not keep the job. And they still might go out and try to get a Jim Harbaugh or something like that. Bisaccia deserves credit. The Raiders deserve credit. They could have been counted out a million times last night, or at least going into last night, and they didn't flinch. I'm not a huge Derek Carr fan. He's hyper-polarizing. I think he's just good enough to tease you, never great enough to win anything of significance. But I've got nothing but compliments for this Raiders team and the way that they navigated their season. I'll reiterate what I said again last hour. This is a nightmare for the Chargers. An absolute nightmare. They're more talented than the Raiders. They have a better quarterback than the Raiders. And they found themselves down by 2 touchdowns, 15 points, late in the fourth quarter. They have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. They have a really good roster. And they have lost time and time again to teams that they shouldn't have, dug holes for themselves, and last night it came back to bite them. Now, I don't know, Mraz, we talked about tie, not tie. Do you think Brandon Staley calling that timeout in overtime either A, thought, I'm going to try to get the football back in OT and win this, or B, was thinking, this is probably going to work out in our favor? Tie, and we both get into the playoffs? I'll take it.
I don't think he thought it was working out in his favor. I think he really did want to set up his defense to stop the run. But if your defense is not prepared in that spot to stop the run, the way they were kind of slowing it down in that way, it's ridiculous. The Raiders literally needed to take one more snap, run, you get tackled 6 yards, and the clock runs out. He totally overthought what he needed to do in that spot, but I think also backs up that he didn't have a conversation with Rich Bisaccia on what to trust and what would actually happen.
No, the way that they both came out of the gates, you knew that they were not playing for a tie. Now, once they got to overtime, could they have had an in-game conversation? I think it was obvious, though, early on that that was not on the table.
Yeah, though I do have to say, at least the Raiders, that first drive where they got a field goal in overtime, they were sort of conservative. They went back to the run game. They had a 3rd-and-3 that led to the field goal where they took a ridiculous unnecessary shot towards the end zone where all you needed was 3 yards to keep moving the chains and setting up. It kind of felt like the Raiders were okay there getting a field goal, and the Chargers were okay tying with a field goal until, again, they were in another 4th-and-long, which was incredible how many of those Herbert got. But when you got to that point where the Raiders could run the ball out, the clock's ticking. What are you using the timeout for? And also, on the other end of this, what if the rare field goal block happened and got returned for a touchdown? Bisaccia would be getting crushed as well today.
Well, that is true. That was on the table. It was interesting. When they set up for the field goal, make the field goal, you're obviously in the playoffs. Miss the field goal, you're in the playoffs. Field goal gets blocked, run back the other way, you're out of the playoffs. So that's the only thing you could not have done, or a bad snap or something like that.
Right. To me, I'm running it out. I'm not even lining up for the field goal and calling it a day. But, hey, he did it. Good for him. It worked out. Also, Brandon Staley, you're going to go back to this. They may not be in overtime. They may win the game at the end of regulation if he didn't go for a 4th down on his own 20 earlier in the game, too. You talk about all the analytic crowd and everything like that. I think Staley completely wrecked this Chargers season with his over-aggressiveness at times.
I thought the Staley thing became silly. That I don't know if that was his ego, that it was like, this is what I do all of the time, or he is just that married to analytics. Sure, it's one thing to say, I've got a great quarterback. I like my offense. I want my offense to have the football. Okay, that's all fine and good. But you have to treat every situation differently. And you can lean on, when in doubt, we go for it. But Staley just became this, it doesn't matter what the situation is, we'll always go for it. And that to me is silly. That to me is like, then you're not really coaching. You're just going into every game with a preordained plan.
Right. You're just saying more times than not, this is going to work out. DA, two teams, the Chargers and the Ravens. Remember, Harbaugh, both of those 2-point conversion decisions over the last month and a half where they didn't get it. You could be looking at two different playoff teams in the AFC had coaches not thought more aggressively, which is what everybody's trying to get you to do.
Yeah. And there's a happy medium here. I think for 100 years of football, coaches coached conservatively. They played it by the book. They played it traditionally, played the field position game, punt when in doubt. And that was too conservative in a modern day NFL where the rules are slanted towards you and your quarterback and high powered offenses, etc. When it becomes you just go for it unflinchingly every 4th down, that's also too far one way as well. There's got to be a happy medium where you go, okay, in the right situations, we will be aggressive and we will go for it, but it's not going to be every situation because every situation is tailored differently. When we come back here on the show, we've got a dramatic reading of Mraz's journal by the one and only Jacob Wilkins. What did Mraz...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Hey, Jazz eat this weekend. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Hawaiian Tony Danza tweets, during the stun segment, DA, you mentioned the term gaseous blob. If Mraz and Bob the Deli Man open a third bar location, could it be called Gaseous Blob's Bar by the Bay? Also, when's the soft opening? Hashtag good burgers! 23 minutes past the hour. Thanks so much for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up in 40 minutes, I'm actually palpably nervous because we have the exciting conclusion to the brouhaha where Mraz, myself, and Bogues will lay a big beer bet on tonight's national championship game.
Brouhaha.
To decide our bowl pick'em competition. Somebody's getting a lot of beers. A lot. Also, we are counting down the minutes now, only about 95 minutes left until Mraz takes off his shirt, goes completely shirtless, paints his entire body in blue body paint, helped out by Foxy. He's the guy on the bagpipes. Mraz will be outside of the frigid cold weather, apologizing to Giants fans that pass by for his misguided loyalty and expectation on still making the playoffs 2 months into this season. It should be noted the New York Giants finished the season 3-14. Is that right? 3-14?
No, 4-13.
4-13.
Yeah. Beat two playoff teams.
4-13. Midway through this season, that would end in 4-13. You still thought they would make the playoffs. And so you said, if they don't make the playoffs, well, if they do make the playoffs, DA, you've got to introduce the show as DA and Mraz in the morning. Every commercial break today. This would be the day of DA and Mraz in the morning.
And my mic wouldn't have worked for it anyway. So,
but instead, because the Giants were eliminated and because Joe Judge is running quarterback sneaks on 3rd and 9 from inside his own 5, that means Mraz has to go outside, paint completely shirtless, painted in nothing but blue body paint, and apologize to Giants fans for said loyalty. I am going to stream this live on Instagram Live. So follow me on Instagram Live. Watch it in real time beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern time. That's at Damon Amendo for the live broadcast with commentary. I appreciate you, Bogues, signing up to be my color commentator for this.
Yes, I am ready to go. I've done my research last night as a good broadcaster, so I'm all ready to go. Spotting charts all printed out, laminated. Let's do this.
It should be noted, since I made that bet, for the first time in franchise history, the Giants lost 6 straight games by 10 or more points.
Congratulations.
They almost did it to spite you. It was like, you know what?
That is quite literally something that's never happened in Giants history, only happened after I made this bet.
As soon as you made the bet, Daniel Jones went down for the season. Joe Judge tried to get fired, and the Giants lost every game by double digits.
They all took a dive.
They all took a dive, yeah. So follow along with the events of the day at Damon Amendo on Instagram and watch the Instagram Live feed.
I am very loose.
Well, this weekend was a big one for Mraz. Obviously, the Giants wrapped up their regular season, 2 days worth of football, Saturday and Sunday. And on Friday night, I had sent the guys for their Christmas gifts, some gift packages from some of my favorite restaurants in the country, including Jack Stack Barbecue in Kansas City, which I love, and they ship as well. And so it's time to do the dramatic reading of Mraz's journal.
I am fat!
Coming in today to do the reading of what happened over the weekend is our friend Jacob Wilkins. He's best known for his work on the play-by-play calls of multiple chicken challenges and wienerships. He's been the voice of the Binghamton Rumble Ponies of the AA baseball variety for the last couple of seasons. Jacob, good morning.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Just trying to figure out what research that Bogues was doing for today's big competition.
First of all, you're using Sean's mic. Second of all, I have to see what kind of razor he used to shave his back, the history of blue body paint, and I've also updated myself on my EMT requirements to help those who see Shauna pass out.
Yes, it's a health scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so
I didn't realize, you know, I was listening to Tiki's dramatic reading last week and, you know, thought the bit was dead. And so I was trying to figure out, geez, I'm not in a good position here, but I understand now, because of what's going to happen at 10 a.m., why this weekend was so pivotal. This is a real showcase for Mraz.
That's right. And you can watch Jacob on Zoom right now in our simulcast. So check it out at watchda.com. That's also available on Twitch. All right, Jacob, give us the dirt on this. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. What was Mraz's weekend like?
All right. Well, we start with Friday, and this is a 50-50 the way what he wrote here. He refused to weigh himself. He can't obsess. Now, I believe in accountability, but okay, maybe this will help. Let's see what he did on Friday. And Friday got off to a good start. At 9 a.m., it was a banana, blueberry, and strawberry smoothie, plus 4 oatmeal apple bites. Then, of course, exercise, S-I-Z-E, for branding purposes. And he shoveled, because it did snow, and that's accurate. And then he went for 42 minutes on the elliptical. And then 200 crunches.
Okay.
125-pound resistance. This is going great, Mraz. I really like the momentum we're building. A resistance chest press, 75, 85, 95 pounds, a combined 55 reps.
Oof.
Then it brings us to lunch.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, all good. All good. Sandwich thins. Not sure what that is. Combined ever roast chicken, hopefully Boar's Head brand, Swiss and tomato. Then it gets to dinner. That's that Jack Stack barbecue. I guess he had it ordered in. Uh-huh. Great. Immeasurable burnt ends, ribs, brisket, mac and cheese.
Immeasurable.
And clearly ordered the whole stack. But let's say this was a treat meal. You know, this was what do they call it? You know,
cheat day.
Cheat
splurge. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. You can tell them. On top of this. Then it for dessert had a half a chocolate chip, big cookie. Good. I think we're good on Friday. Proud of Mraz. Let's get to Saturday. Exercise again, S-I-Z-E. Then helped someone move a bear or something, Mraz? Not sure.
I helped the Bayou Bear move into his new house. My exercise was the help of moving.
I gotcha. No need to get snippy. Then at breakfast, an everything bagel with butter. But then, just like when the Chargers called that timeout last night, there's a turning point as we get to lunch. 2 slices of pizza, one of which was buffalo chicken. I think pizza not great in this diet, but okay. Then for dinner, 6 Taco Bell tacos.
Ooh.
So we're going pizza for lunch into tacos.
Oh, wow. So, and then so copious amounts of barbecue Friday night, and then slices of buffalo chicken pizza for lunch Saturday. Then Taco Bell Saturday night for dinner.
That was Chiefs Broncos Taco Bell, yes.
Okay, and where are we on Sunday then?
Well, and there, I guess you had a couple of beers on Saturday night. Oh, I'm forgetting the biggest part on Saturday. When you tack, adding on to that 24-hour period, 5 Kona Big Waves.
Five
beers. Delicious beer, by the way. Terrific beer from Hawaii. And just to top it off, assorted cheese and crackers. Then to Sunday, no exercise. Shocker. that 24 hours.
/ coma.
Right, right. You can't exercise if you're dead. Too many morning errands. Now, that's outrageous. Too many morning errands. I mean, as an excuse for no exercise, just say you didn't get out of bed. Breakfast, though, he's trying to make a bounce back here. Egg whites, turkey sausage, and an English muffin. For lunch, a few wings. Okay. Usually they come in 6 or 12. But great. I guess the leftovers from Friday. A piece of stromboli.
Oh, wait. You just raced through a pizza stromboli? That's like 2,000 calories. No,
it's a piece of stromboli, not a piece of stromboli. Okay. A piece, which is probably like 300 calories.
Yeah, that one didn't startle me as much as you, D.A., but yes, it's not great. And then for dinner, 3 chicken franchise meatballs, rigatoni, and some garlic bread with, again, this is what kills you, various leftover burnt ends. You couldn't stop the Italian dinner. Various leftover burnt ends. And to top it off, and this will come as an utter shock, he had some flatulence during Raiders Chargers.
Unbearable flatulence was the word for it.
The quote was gas atrocious.
All right.
So I don't know what to make of this game.
Well, I do. Whatever, whatever you had done to help over the course of those 4 weekdays went to hell in a handbasket this weekend.
But there's excuses. I wasn't not going to enjoy the meal you bought me. Mm-hmm. And then I would have been fine if I didn't have to help a friend move. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like he was handing out protein bars. Mm-hmm. He bought bagels and pizza for everybody. And I'm starving. I didn't have a granola bar in my pocket to turn to. And then dinner, I go to a buddy's house to watch the Chiefs Broncos. They got Taco Bell delivered. Well, I'm going to sit it out. It's tough. All that in one day was tough. I'd like to have that day back. Yesterday was much better. I mean, it was an Italian dinner. What are you going to do?
With stromboli.
Again, that was, now I'm done. I'm done because there's no more Giant games. So I'm done with the Sunday 1 o'clock.
Except for all of the playoff games.
No. I'm done. I'm
Super
done.
Super wild card weekend.
Except for
you. Classic. If I counted right, he blamed his friend. He blamed UGA for being generous. Mm-hmm. And then he blamed the Giants.
Yep. He blamed the Giants.
We're off that. This is the point of the book, though. You learn from the mistakes.
Yep. There's only 6 playoff football games next week.
Well, and your Giant logic is broken because you've been defending yourself on Sunday saying, I can't drink because I have to go on the air post-Giant game. But now there's no more shifts on Sunday because there's just football through, so away you go.
No. I'll be doing something for another network on Sunday, longer hours, so actually a better chance
for
me to
die. What does that mean?
Food Network.
Jacob, well done, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks. Good to see you guys.
You too. Jacob Wilkins, the voice of the Chicken Challenges, the Wiener Ships, and the Binghamton Rumble Ponies, joining us today for the dramatic reading of the Journal. Tune in tomorrow for more Secrets Unveiled.
Did you guys eat salad Saturday? Like, I don't understand what you did.
No, but I'm not doing this. We're not on any kind of weight loss kick.
I actually did eat salad on Saturday.
Yeah. They're always a hero.
But we have a problem here, DA. This, a few wings... Yeah. Various amounts of burnt ends. Yeah. That's too much vagueness.
There was also immeasurable barbecue.
Right.
Measurable.
Although it came measured.
Am I supposed to break out measuring cups every time I eat?
No, I don't want you to pick up each burnt end and count it, but it's just a relative term. Your few barbecue wings might be my meal and a half.
There was a tray of 100 wings. I don't know how many I had.
Right.
Quick estimate. A few.
6, maybe.
Okay. All right. 6.
But they were all different sizes.
10?
I mean, at some places it might be considered 10 because they were like the boneless wings that come in strips and you cut them off, that kind of deal.
Maybe a dozen.
Well, now we're really pushing the
envelope. Maybe 2. I don't know.
And the stromboli had celery in it, which was a new thing I'd never seen. So that, and they say you burn calories when eating celery.
Yep. I'm sure you burned it all off. Yep. Either the celery inside the cheese and dough stromboli.
There's no nutritional value in the celery after all that.
I'm sure the 12 tacos that you housed on Saturday night was completely neutralized by the itty-bitty piece of celery that was inside your stromboli.
Which taco was a snack?
I did forget to mention, I dipped my hand into some Nachos Bel Grande as well when I had the tacos.
All right, AB, what do we got in headlines?
We got headlines sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit Progressive.com. The hypothetical became a reality last night because the Colts lost in Jacksonville in the afternoon. So the Raiders and Chargers would both make the playoffs with a tie. No Neil Fest. Vegas built a 29-15 fourth quarter lead, but L.A. forced OT on 2 TD throws from Justin Herbert in the final 4.5 minutes. The Raiders retook the lead on a Daniel Carlson field goal to begin OT. The Bolts tied the game again. Then it looked like Vegas was content with that tie, but Brandon Staley called that timeout in the final minute. The Raiders handed off to Josh Jacobs. He got 10 yards, setting up Carlson's 47-yard game ender. The 35-32 final put the Raiders and the Steelers in the postseason, and sent the Chargers home. Staley defends all his choices.
Tonight was a great example of the way we played all season, the belief that we have in one another, the belief in this place and how we do things. And we set a big-time foundation for the future. I hate it for this team that we're not in the tournament because I feel like we're good enough. But, you know, it didn't go down for us tonight.
Apparently now, after the timeout, to get his defense lined up for a run play, there were only 10 Chargers on the field after that timeout, which may have helped Josh Jacobs run for 10 yards. Their season is now over. Before all of that, the Titans survived Houston 28-25 to clinch the lone AFC bye. The Bills clinched the East when the Pats lost in Miami 33-24. The Rams took the NFC West because the Cardinals lost at home to Seattle 38-30. And the Steelers stayed alive with a 16-13 OT win in Baltimore. And don't forget Tom Brady setting single-season buck records for yards and touchdowns despite all those crazy jersey numbers on defense. So I await my apology from whomever wants to give it. Now, with all of that settled, Super Wild Card Weekend begins with Raiders, Bengals, and Pats, Bills on Saturday. Eagles, Bucks, Niners, Cowboys, Steelers, Chiefs on Sunday, Cardinals, Rams on Monday night. I believe that Niners, Cowboys game is another Nickelodeon game with slime and
it
whatnot.
Is. Yes.
Wow. Away from the postseason, Vic Fangio fired in Denver, and Pete Carroll said yesterday he expects to coach the Seahawks next season. NBA last night, Ja Morant might have had the block of the season.
There's a stolen basketball by Bradley. Oh!
That's from Spectrum Sportsnet. The Memphis Grizzlies radio network, by the way, posted 40 highlights from this win last night, not including this block, which you have to see to believe. Morant's chasing down Avery Bradley. He takes off. He catches the layup with both of his elbows above the rim. Mm. It just makes no sense physically. Also had 16 points, 7 assists, a 127-119 win at the Lakers. That's a 9-game win streak for Memphis. The Warriors won Klay Thompson's return, 96-82 over the Cavs. He had 17 in 20 minutes in his first game since Game 6 of the 2019 Finals. And Novak Djokovic currently allowed to enter Australia and play the Aussie Open after a judge reinstated his visa and COVID vaccine exemption today. However, that visa can be canceled at any moment, so this is not over yet. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. When we come back, the dramatic conclusion of the brouhaha. We have a silent bet going into Bilotti. He will unveil how many beers we are betting and what's our pick coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
There's 44 bowl games. The DA Show is picking them all. On the line, the most valuable prize known to man. DA, Mraz, and Bogush in a winner-take-all. It's the brouhaha.
So you're the little lady who started this great brouhaha.
Yeah, real brouhaha.
You know what these things can be like.
Quite a brouhaha.
When I created this competition, my ideas, my concepts were loser has to pay like 20 beers, 12 beers, a case or something like that. That's what I'm figuring. And you get a case or two from each guy and you walk away with 30 to 40 beers or something like this. I had no idea the stakes would get ratcheted up the way that they are. It all happened when Mraz fell behind by 120 beers, then bet 144 on Alabama against Cincinnati. And the way this thing goes is the confidence in your wager is how many beers you wager. And there is no cap. You can bet as many beers as humanly possible. The standings are Mraz leads at plus 39. Bogues is in second at plus 22. I trail at negative 15. The bit is if you come in second, you might as well be in last. If you win, both guys owe you that amount of beers. Second and third have to pay beers to the first place winner. Pete has our picks. We have silently given him the picks and the numbers. Mraz, I did not expect myself to be very nervous today. You're breathing hard.
I am. I'm actually fluttering right now because I've overthought this thing to the point where I've stopped farming my own land and tried to guesswork what you guys were going to do and workshop my pick around that because I was already in the lead.
Bogues, are you nervous?
I'm very nervous because you and I have to do the impossible and is figure out what's going on inside his head. There's no telling which team he's going to pick, obviously, and more importantly, there's no telling how many beers he's going to wager here.
And this game itself is totally a pick'em type situation. I mean, really, it's really about, do you have faith that Alabama just always wins these types of games? Or do you look at it as, it's really hard to beat the same team twice in the span of a month, and that Georgia was a favorite of the SEC title game and now is a favorite again? And so it's
my chest hurts.
It's picking the favorite if you go against Alabama, but you're also going against Alabama. So the line that we are using is 2.5. Georgia favored by 2.5. It's flirted with 3 at times this over the last week since the matchup's been decided, but that's what we're going to go with. We're going to go Georgia laying 2.5. So should we have my pick first since I'm in last?
Did we state the official standings where we're at, or did I miss
that? I just mentioned that.
Okay, sorry. Yes. I'm having a nervous attack here.
Now, I will say this. Before we get to this, Pete, you asked Mraz down the line, do you have a reason for doing this? Is that what you said?
Yes, because I had thought in my head that he was going to go in a different direction.
Okay, so we're already at the point where you're surprised at what Mraz has done here.
Yes. What I was going to do is different than what I told Pete I was doing a half an hour ago.
So you flipped in the last 30 minutes.
Yeah, team and beers.
Team and beers?
Yes.
Nervous wreck.
You have flipped the team pick?
Yes. I have cut down the amount of beers I was going to bet by half.
Wow.
And flipped the team I was betting.
Yeah, when you were not in the room during this last break, he goes, I can't believe I'm going to do this. Now, I didn't pay attention because I didn't want any mind tricks here, but I can't believe I'm going to do this. I can't believe I'm doing it.
Okay, so again, the standings. Mraz leads at plus 39. Bogues is at plus 22. I'm at minus 15. So I suppose...
go last to first.
Okay, so my bet goes first.
Yes.
Okay.
Damon Mandelara bets 120 beers on Georgia.
I've got Georgia, 120 beers on Georgia.
Okay. Okay.
Mraz is calm. This means that he can't lose, it sounds like.
You don't know what I can do.
Okay, what's for Bogues?
Andrew Bogish, 36 beers on Alabama.
Okay, 36 beers on Bama, which means for Mraz?
Mraz has 72 beers on Georgia.
I predicted DA's move right.
Oh.
I tried to block DA. I thought DA would go Georgia, and that's why I switched.
Oh.
So does that mean if Alabama wins, I win?
By a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So... wow. Jeez.
I thought you'd think we'd both go Bama, and I tried to figure you'd go over 100 on Georgia, so how could I make sure I block you from winning? That was my mindset.
I thought you'd both go Alabama. I thought my only chance to win was Georgia.
I thought over 100 on Georgia is where DA is going, so I got to figure out a block scenario.
Damn it! What were you going to do before you thought that?
160 beers on Bama.
Oh!
He told me 240 on Bama in the break.
No, but I was messing with you. It was going to be 160 on Bama. That's what I walked in here this morning thinking. And I said, wait a minute. DA is going to wait for us to pick Bama and go big. I'm blocking him.
Okay, so if Mraz gets this right, how many did you bet?
72.
Would put you at 100...
11?
39 plus 72, 111. If Mraz wins, he's at 111 beers. I would only be at...
105.
105. Yeah, 105.
So you'd owe him a six-pack?
I'd owe him a six-pack.
And I'd owe him a lot.
And AB, if he wins, you put 36 beers in this?
Yeah.
Would get you to 50...
Negative 14, because I would have lost.
No, if you hit this, 36
beers.
But
in this scenario of Georgia winning, so I lose the bet, so then I'm at like negative 14 to Sean's 111.
Yeah.
So I'm 125 beers.
Oh, so that's...
or I get all the beers.
So if Georgia wins, I owe Mraz 6 beers, and Bogish owes Mraz 100 beers.
Yes!
If Alabama wins, AB goes to 58 beers. And, oh, my God, how many would I owe? I would owe 135. Holy crap. I would owe Bogus 190 beers.
Oh, so Shaman does what he always does. You need a pallet.
I like where I'm sitting.
And Mraz, you bet 72?
Yes.
Which would put you at negative 30-something beers if Georgia loses. So you'd owe...
80?
You'd owe 80.
I have 270 beers.
I'd owe 100.
Wow. I actually want Georgia to win.
190 beers, and you'd owe 80 beers.
What are you going to do?
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's what I'm saying.
You could have 270 beers coming your way.
Beers Nick Saban, I love you.
Beers and Reese's Pies all in that garage. And you'd think your wife was worried about leftover Halloween candy.
Yeah. No, I told you this last week. I almost don't want to win because I already get yelled at for the amount of beer in my fridge right now.
270 beers. What is it? 12 cases?
I mean, whatever. I don't know. 12? No, not that 24? Many.
24? Yeah, 11. 11 cases?
We'll give out beer for next Halloween.
We're just going to rent a Home Depot truck and pull right up to Bogus's house and just unload.
Rent the Home Depot.
Wow, this is all on the line. We will tweet out the exact numbers coming up here, but everything is on the line tonight. If Alabama pulls this off, Bogus gets 270 beer. We might as well just buy you a keg or three.
We might be getting a deal out of that if we only buy him a keg or three.
If Georgia wins.
Yeah, it's 11 cases.
Then Mraz gets, what do we say, 50 beers from Bogues?
It's great. I can't believe I properly predicted your move.
You've been great the entire time. I mean, look, you flipped the entire competition at its head with 144 beers going into the Alabama-Cincy game. You were the one that me and Bogues were playing nickel bets, and then you went and you blew the top off this thing. And then once you did that, you created a race where we were playing by 10s and 20s instead of 1s and 2s. And now I'm potentially going to owe Bogus 180 beers. When we come back, we'll talk about this game. Quincy Carter is scheduled to join us. That's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.